There's nothing at all there. And so there's nothing there because it was never contemplated. See, it was never contemplated. And the all of the stuff that's been constructed afterwards and all of these arguments that have been constructed afterwards, it's the Sherlock Holmes dog who didn't bark problem. There's nothing in the time that it was passed to indicate anything like this was ever even considered, ever. And you've got Cruikshank, which was basically 100 years after the so-called Holy Constitution was put in place, just saying the federal government has no authority to do any of this. And if the people want protection against this, they have to look to the states. The states are the ones who need to regulate this, not the federal government. And so we have all of that. You have the absolute complete dearth of anything at the time. Then you have 100 years and you have the Supreme Court making the exact same statement. And then ever since then, you have this nibbling and this change and then this mountain of made up nonsense about hunting and assault weapons and only military application. All, there's nothing in there about that. There's nothing in there about that. All that stuff about the militia is about the fact that the federal government has to finance it, and they could have said anything. The fact that they say, in order to, you know, maintain a free country or something, the a well-regulated militia being necessary. Well, all sorts of things are necessary for freedom. All sorts of things are necessary for freedom. Fresh water is necessary for freedom, right? If you don't have water, you can drink, and food's necessary. All sorts of things are necessary, okay, to maintain freedom, not just a well-regulated militia. They also have to be well-armed, not just well-regulated, right? I mean, you got to have ammo. And so there's so many obvious holes in all of the Second Amendment kinds of restriction arguments. There's simply zero authority for the federal government to regulate these kinds of things. Zero. The individuals can own whatever they want. Oh, can they own a nuclear weapon? Yeah, they actually can. They could. There's nothing in the Constitution that would prevent that. Now, if people actually wanted to try to go out and get nuclear weapons, well, we could get a constitutional amendment. If people really want it, let's pass a constitutional amendment, right? But the problem with all those kinds of things, even the Second Amendment or passing a constitutional amendment or Article 5 convention or all this made-up shit, is that all of these statements that you could even imagine, if you wanted to put a statement into the Constitution, an amendment itself, what would the wording even be? See, because once you start trying to decide what the wording would be, everything in the Constitution is a Barnum statement. It's just a statement that sounds like it means something very specific, but it doesn't. It only means something specific to you. You have a very specific idea of what it means, but we can't get agreement. First Amendment, we can't get agreement. Second Amendment, can't get agreement. Nobody can agree about what any of these things say, even though the words are very short. And so all laws fall into this problem. And so when I look at the Second Amendment, I look at all these kinds of issues and I just say, one, there's no agreement. Two, there was never any intention whatsoever because there's absolutely no discussion at all about this. Three, the Supreme Court already ruled on it on Cruikshank and said the federal government's got no authority in this area. And yet here we are. Here we are with the constant nibbling about the safety and the just to protect the kids and that's unreasonable and nobody needs this and nobody needs that. And because it's such a gigantic ball of confusion to untangle for the average person, and because the way the argument's always made immediately presumes all these things in that guarantee you'll lose, which is the Supreme Court is the law of the land. They get to tell us, you got all this precedent. You got, as soon as you go down that road, you're going to lose. And that's why the more fundamental arguments are that nobody would agree to that. See, nobody would agree to it. And in fact, nobody agrees to it today. Nobody agrees to it. There's half the country, sure, they want to disarm some of the other people. So what about the people who don't agree? What? How are they bound to an interpretation of a document from 240 years ago? How are they bound by that? There's no legal construct under which they could ever be bound. It's just all made up. And so for me, the Second Amendment is a classic case of constitutional conservatives, incredibly deeply misleading people. You know, they've got fake organizations out there too, you know, that run around and claim to be in favor.
Oh, yeah.
They're all in favor of registering guns. They love registering guns and no machine guns. Got no problem with you having to get a federal firearms dealer, you know, license and all this other crap. Like, dude, that's all that stuff is unconstitutional. But all of the so-called firearms organizations that support your right to defend your family. You really think people are forming a government and you need to make sure that this limited government we're making doesn't have enough power, that it's going to, we need protections to make sure that we're going to be allowed to defend our family against a criminal who comes in? Really? That's credible? That's not credible to me. That's just on its face. It's obvious that that was never, ever part of the discussion. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Nothing. It's just nothing. Government has no authority. Hell, the state government has no authority to remove your right to be able to defend yourself against criminals. That's, if people can't see something that obvious, see, we've got way bigger problems. If people can't see something that obvious, that no government has any legitimate authority to ever limit your ability to protect you and your family from criminals. I don't need to look at a law. Whatever the law says that prevents that, that law is not valid. That's all, it's not valid. And if people can't see something that obvious, that's the real danger we're in. You know, people like you and me are in that. That's the danger. People like that who can't see something that obvious, the brainwashing is so deep, they can't see something that clear.
Well, they have folks waiting around. I hear this every day, not only just in the travels of the site we have. We started on site, pain.tv. It's going pretty well, but we have also emails on different platforms, on Patreon. You're on Patreon too. Where can folks find you on Patreon?
At the Quash. The Quash. So it's just patreon.com/The Quash.
The Quash, okay. And, So you do things for content on there that you don't release to the public, right?
Oh, yeah, tons. I do a live show in there, and I do a lot of stuff, right?
So you get, inquiries behind the scenes, and a large number of them are like, well, we'll just have to wait until the Supreme Court comes down and decides. And I say to myself, well, I've started telling people fairly recently, just in the last couple months, because I think maybe a lot of folks are ready for this. These folks should have no dominion over you whatsoever.
None.
Nothing. The Bidens, the Faucis, you have to look at them as cartoon characters and just laugh at them. It's like, I'm going to live my life, right? And
right.
The Supreme Court, I don't care what they say. It's a sham. Who cares what they say? I mean, really.
Right.
And once you get to that point, at least for me, it's been very liberating. I'm like, I don't get too upset about many other things now because I just say, well, if it's upsetting me, then it's meant to upset me. So I need to rise above it and look at it from another angle and figure out how to get around that type of mentality because that mentality will keep you down. You need to almost have like a 30,000 foot view of what's going on. You know what's funny? I just thought about this morning. All these people in the media and the Congress, everybody on a global basis, they're all running around. They're all jockeying. They don't have their talking points. They're all pulling bullshit and power moves, right? I had this image of me sitting in a chair, like a big armchair with like maybe a little glass of whiskey, straight whiskey, and watching a dollhouse. And if you can get to that point where that's your perspective, you're like, look at these idiots running around in the dollhouse, right? And I know it might sound crazy, but I thought about that. It's everybody's jockeying around. If you could just sit there and look at it from that perspective, like, these people are crazy. And then walk away from it. And then check in on the dollhouse and things like that. Because you will get your perspective many times on moves you should be making, et cetera. But you should or maybe a better way to think about it is, you're watching a bunch of rats run around in the labyrinth, and you're just like, wow, these things are crazy. Instead of being one of the rats, or instead of being in the dollhouse, trying to carve out a living, take a step back and look at all these people running around and try to rise above that mentality. It's hard to do, but I think people can get there. I mean,
I think you can. It's difficult because they beat you down every day. It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I would say a couple of things. One, my Twitter handle what my description is that I like, and I enjoy laughing at the transparent fraud presented to people as reality. And that's what I like to do. I like to laugh at it because that's kind of the way I see it. It's just so truly preposterous. And I would say that the people who are inside my Patreon are mostly black-pilled. They would never believe the Supreme Court. So I wouldn't get an interior message like that. I'd get stuff like that on Twitter all the time. But yeah, inside, that they don't do that because they know, because my show is so black-pilled for most people that the people who are in there, they know it's a total fraud. And absolutely, the Supreme Court, those are just rogue jokers up there. I mean, just absolute jokers. And that's really is the danger, is that if we could get some people past that, if we could get more people to go to your side where it's like they have no authority. See, that's the consent of the people, and where the government gets authority is just utterly and completely brushed over with these slogans about consent of the people and the voting and the Constitution, the law of the land. But if you actually examine those things, they don't withstand any scrutiny. You know, that's why I do that Spooner series, because I love Spooner, and most people have never heard of Spooner. And when I do some of his stuff, it's just his arguments are so good. And they open people's minds to the fact that the most fundamental question that has to be asked about government is not voting and who's in charge and all these 24-hour news cycle loads of shit. It's where's the consent of the people they claim to be governed? Where is that consent? Because if you don't have a consent, what is the authority based on? Force and fraud. That's all. That's the same as every other so-called terrible government we go around and fight. And so once you can see that there's no actual consent of the people, none. Not at all. But once you see that, then you see that the government is just a criminal enterprise. And jokers like the Supreme Court, they are. That's all they are, the jokers. I mean, Andrew Jackson himself said it. You know, okay, well, he's given his opinion. Now let him enforce it. It's just like, okay, you issued an opinion. So what? Who are you? It's nothing. All of the power that people complain about on the constitutional conservative side, they turn around and defend. We shouldn't be running around fighting about trying to get control of an entity which has the ability to tell the other people what to do. How is that freedom that if we manage to eke out an election that we get to dominate and control 100 million people who voted for Joe Biden? How is that freedom? Oh, we got one fewer vote. Now those people are going to tell us what to do. No part of that game is freedom. No part. And that's the fundamental message, is that you don't want to spend all your time trying to argue about who's controlling the system. You want to look at the system and say, we need to get rid of a system. You can't have a system that's empowered to possibly run around and destroy your life and tell you what to do. If anything about the Constitution limiting the government, like we're told, from the time we're in first born to the time we die every day, if anything about it was true, that it actually limited the government and it did all these amazing things and it was a government of equal protection, who would care about elections? How would elections matter? And they wouldn't matter one bit. If the government was actually limited and it was equal protection and all this liberty and justice and all the crap we're told, it wouldn't matter who was up there. They wouldn't have the authority to do jack shit, and everything they did would have to be equal anyway. there would be no problem. You wouldn't care who got elected if the Constitution did any of the things we're told. And that's just, again, it's just a point that the people who haven't caught on can't see because they're just so brainwashed. They're so brainwashed. They can't see the internal contradiction to the very system they run around and claim to support. They just can't see it. You hear endlessly, all the time, all constitutional conservatives talk about. In fact, the vast majority, if you just flip on constitutional conservative radio, any kind of talk radio, what will you hear? You'll hear them bitching about how the liberals are violating the Constitution. It's unconstitutional this and unconstitutional that. And they're wrecking the country. We're going to lose a republic and all this crap. How's any of that possible? See, how is any of that possible if we're operating under the Constitution? It's not possible. Unless the Constitution itself enables it all and permits it, in which case they're not violating it. If they're violating it, then what they're doing is totally unlawful. And there's nothing to argue about. It's not about supporting it. It's unlawful. These people need to be arrested and thrown in prison. Not voted out years from now. not allowed to have careers that last for decades. But again, they can't see it because it's a step too far or 10 steps too far for most people because they're so identified. Unlike your dollhouse, they're so identified with the concept that they're a freedom fighting American, is a shining light on a hill kind of thing. They're part of that. They can't give that up. They cannot give that up. They have to maintain that. It's such an essential part of their identity.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, when I was working Intel for a long time, I left journalism. I went into Intel and then I came back into journalism. Some of the stuff we were doing, I was like, are we allowed to do this? This isn't like, are you sure? Is this like a setup? We're all going to end up in prison, right? And then you do it time and time again, and you're making so, because I was I had my own contracting company. I wasn't stupid enough to become an agent. I said, you guys are making no money, and we're doing the same right. stuff, right? So I would say to myself, we're not that nice of a country if right. we're doing all this stuff. I mean, okay, right. I'll be a gunslinger for a while in my late 20s and 30s. Sure. But as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, this I'm going to rot in hell for some of this stuff. And
right.
And we're not a nice fucking country, what we do. And now it's crazy. I never thought they would internalize that and turn it against the people in the United States, but that's exactly what they've done. It's really crazy to watch.
It's insane. It really is. And yeah, I'm always surprised that, you know, they show people in the movies all the time what really actually kind of goes on. And the people, when you try to tell them, well, that's exactly what's happening right now. Oh, that's impossible. Everybody would know. So they'll see the movie. They'll understand that the government's doing all this shit. It has absolutely no authority to do. And it just blows by them. And now they're so habituated to it. Everybody's seen these movie scenes where some so-called, you know, CIA-type FBI guy or something like, who is this? Such as, oh, I want to know where he went to kindergarten. I want to know what he had for breakfast this morning. I want to know, you know, today kind of thing. It's like, dude, you need a warrant to do any of that. You can't just go access people's records. How do you even have these records to go access? What is this? But they just show them that they do this stuff all the time. No search warrants, no oversight, no anything. And so the people are habituated to this idea that the government can just do all these things. They can just look and do and say, oh, okay. That's just part of what they do. And that's all part of the media habituation brainwashing, while at the same time telling about the Constitution and what happens in those movies, those bad guys inside, they always get, you know, ratted out by some so-called good guy or, you know, hard-nosed reporter who digs out the truth or some crap like that. And you just say, this is what's going on. The brainwashing is so deep that they can't see because they never, ever, ever get exposed to an idea like you talk about or like I talk about. They just never get exposed to it. And if they did get exposed to it on even just a semi-regular basis, just a periodic basis, we'd reach a huge number of people. We'd sway them. We'd turn them. I'm completely convinced of that. We would turn them. But it's just how do you, you know, you can't get the word to most people. They got it all locked down. They shut you off. They, you know, deplatform you. That's all that'll happen.
There is power, though, my man. There is power. In a word of mouth, it's so fantastic. And, you know, you reach one person and you say, well, I don't know if I'm reaching anybody. But if let's just say you do a whole week of shows and you reach one person. But that one person can go out and reach a whole lot of people in their lives by just telling them different things. And so
I agree.
You know, you don't have the representative numbers that Fox gets every night and viewers and things. But the people that are watching Fox are the same viewers. They're not new viewers. They're just watching it because they're programmed to watch it. Obviously, they're not getting anything because they keep coming back. I mean, usually if you get something, it's like feeding, right? There are people who listen to our show and listen to your show. Not every day, but they listen as much as they can. And then they go out, they live their lives, and they take some of those lessons. And then when they feel like they need more lessons, they come back, right?
Uh-huh.
They're not addicts. Where they hang on every single word you say, and they're able to discern what's, you know, take your information, balance it against other information, and find their own truths and things like that. But there is power in word of mouth, man. It really is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you don't really know who you're reaching and what effect you're having.
Yeah, it's one mind at a time. And it's a real beating. You know, I don't know. I probably have a lower tolerance than you do, but I have a lower tolerance. But the reality is I kind of made a decision that, look, a lot of these things just take time. It has to percolate through the system. And, you know, sometimes you have to hear it twice. Sometimes someone tells you about something, you don't hear it, you don't listen to it. But then eventually someone will start listening. And that's why my goal was to try not to burn out, just kind of percolate and just accept the fact that, look, it takes time for this message to go through. And what else am I going to do if I don't make it? I'm going to keep making the show in some form or fashion because of that reason, that I think each person has a right to hear the truth. And even though it's true, we may or may not get enough people to get the kind of change we want. I get it. It's true. But you touched on something earlier that I think is really, really true. I know it was true for me, and that's peace of mind. When you finally put the pieces together and you understand the way the system works, the frustration level drops dramatically because you're not confused all the time. If you listen to constitutional conservative crap, they're always shocked and amazed and upset because they can't believe what's happening. It's all very predictable. We know what's going to happen. The question is, how do we navigate around it, and what's the best way to deal with it, and how can we get more people on our side? And once you understand the way the system actually works, just like from your dollhouse, that these are just people running around telling lies because there's a central banking system that prints money for nothing and buys everybody off. Once you understand the way that actually fits together, yes, the world's still very a screwed up place, but it's much less frustrating. That's what I found personally when I finally put all the pieces together a couple decades ago. I was like, wow, okay. It was screwed up, but I'm no longer constantly running that sort of background RAM on my computer mind where it's like, what's going on? Why is this? What's it's like, I know why, and I know how it fits together. And yes, it sucks, and these people are pieces of crap, but I know the way things fit together. I know, just like you saw in the election thing, same thing. Like, come on, guys, you're getting your hope. This is nonsense. These things aren't going anywhere. This is crap. And there's a lot of peace in that. There's a lot of peace in that is that scene at the end of The Equalizer. You know, what will my death give you? Peace. Ah, very expensive. But I can buy it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Peace of mind is it's valuable, you know, and when you finally put the pieces together, it's a lot of peace of mind. That's it.
Well, our friend VM is the one who he was literally browbeating me during the election, saying, I mean, after the election, saying, you have to tell your people this is a sham, dude. These things, trust me. And he was on top of me, and he said, please do yourself a favor. Stick out from the crowd and go and just tell people, stop giving money, stop giving your time, stop giving your sweat equity into this. It's not going anywhere. So we did that, right? Now, so in what you just said earlier is what you're touching on. What I've said to people is that we can't change this. We can't. What's the point? Well, my point is that you can change the world if you shrink the world into your circle. Right? Your world becomes your family and your friends. That's it. And so the decisions you make affect that world. So if you can steer your world clear of this insanity, then you have changed the world, your world.
And yes.
I mean, it's so fucking simple. And sometimes right.
Well, the other thing I would say is that what I'd like to tell people, because I think that's very true, that's a good point, that, you know, your peace of mind does involve being able to make better decisions. And I always say, look, until we get more people, you know, we really can't get any good solutions implemented. But if we had more people, there's plenty of solutions. But the analogy I give people for what you just basically said right there is, look, if you live in a neighborhood and it's got a lot of crime and you don't know that this thing is 100% crooked police, so you go to the cops and you think you're going to be like getting some solutions, and you're in effect talking to crooked cops. You've just screwed your world.